Good morning, all. Looking back over the pandemic, perhaps the toughest call for most people was being unable to visit family or friends or give them a hug or a cuddle. And we all, I suppose we all remember those newsreel, you know, on the news about pictures of elderly folk often confused, wondering why their children won't come into the care home. And then their children in tears, unable to explain why they couldn't come into the care home at the time. And I think for them and for others living on their own or self-isolating, it was a very, very lonely time. I think it taught us that food, shelter and warmth are not enough in themselves. Human beings need something more. They need the presence, the time, the love of others, and of course the reassurance that they are not forgotten. Gifts, letters, phone calls, they're all good, but they can't really take the place of being together with someone that you love, you know, being able to, as I say, hug or give them a cuddle, that kind of thing. In today's first reading, we see the world in a very similar situation at the very dawn of time. It's a poem in praise of wisdom, who is told to pitch her tent among God's chosen people, precisely to be there with them in their loneliness and their isolation in the desert. But this wisdom is not the fruit that we pick up by learning from human experience. For example, you know that it's not very wise or it's dangerous to skate on thin ice. But it's actually the word of God himself. And I think it's fair to say that the Israelites never really got the full import of what that meant. They thought of wisdom more as the gift of the law, which God had given them through Moses, which really was for harmonious living. For example, if we don't steal or kill or lie about each other, we can live pretty much in peace together. St. Paul, however, in the second reading, very much gets it and gives thanks to God for the gift of his Son, who is God's wisdom personified. And he also prays that God will give us that wisdom so that we can perceive what was revealed and come to full knowledge of him. And what is revealed is that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So the Word shares the divine life, which means that he too is almighty, creator, Lord of the universe, and all the other things that we attribute to God. And as we saw earlier, the Jews saw the all-powerful God's relationship with them as like master to servant. Their part was simply to worship, to honor, and to obey. In return, they got food, they got shelter, they got warmth, they got protection. But where was the love? Where was the closeness of a child to its father? And it's clear that from what Paul writes, that God had a plan from before the world was made, as it says in that reading, which is for us to be adopted in love as his sons and daughters. And in the gospel, that plan is revealed. The Word was made flesh and lived among us. And the literal translation is that he pitched his tent among us. So when Jesus, the Son of God, becomes human, he does actually live like a tent dweller. He's often on the move, of no fixed abode. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And John uses the word flesh to underline the humility of God, of what God was actually doing. He doesn't say he took the appearance of a human, but he became man. That is, truly human, like you and me, able to be hurt, to be upset, to be let down by friends, to be vulnerable. And although he was in the world and the world did not know him, it doesn't alter the fact that in him is the fullness of God. So suddenly, we weren't just getting messages and postcards from heaven, if you like, delivered by prophets and lawgivers anymore, but God himself had come to live among us. And Jesus' lasting impact on history is manifold, we know that. But two major influences stand out for me. In a world where any hope of transforming sinful humanity was considered an illusion, he proved the opposite was true. It was possible. It was possible through selfless love. And added to that, his victory over death gave the world the certainty of a common destiny for humankind, for all of us, with the consequent belief that every person matters because each of us is made in the image and likeness of God, made visible in the person of Jesus Christ. So in becoming Emmanuel, a name which means God is with us, and sending us the gift of the Holy Spirit, he gives us the assurance that even when we are feeling our most isolated and most lonely, he is with us all day and every day until the end of time.